makeup.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Yeah, the NBA playoffs, I was saying this yesterday that, all right, so there's not a lot of thrill or excitement in the opening round, and that's, I guess it's fine. I mean, you get one series right now, it's Spurs and the Nuggets, it's tied up at two, kind of locked in place. Jazz stayed alive last night, a bad fourth quarter for the Rockets, but that looks like an inevitable conclusion that the Rockets will advance. Milwaukee made quick work of Detroit, they win that series in four straight. Hasn't been a lot of threatening teams from the bottom up in the first round of the NBA, but contrast that to the NHL. Once again, another division-leading team is out of the postseason, and once again, they're telling me it's a good thing. Predators out of the first round after winning the Central Division as Dallas beats them in six. Enjoy the rest of the way, I guess, in the NHL with all the fun, scrappy teams that barely got into this thing are now advancing into the second round. You know what, one time the St. Louis Blues had the worst record in the NHL? The worst record in the NHL in January, not like five games into the season. They had the worst record in January, and now they're in the second round of the playoffs where they'll take on these scrappy Stars. Listen, I get it. I understand. We always root for the underdog, but where do we go from here? I understand that there's two parts of this that comes from the fact that the first round in the NHL has been more exciting because of these upsets and these big storylines, whereas the NBA is really going through the motions. Something we're going to get in just a minute. The big storyline of the NBA today is not the play of Giannis. It's not the play of the Rockets per se, or the series between the Nuggets and the Spurs that is tied up at two, that has now come down to a best of three. It's, does Russell Westbrook have the right to not answer a question of an Oklahoma writer? Now, we're going to get into that because it does lead into the larger issue of what the NBA is dealing with in terms of its growth and its appeal to fans. But if that's your storyline, your playoffs aren't producing any kind of quality stories for us to dissect. I guess that's okay because, again, we're trying to weed out the teams and get into some more excellence. But the reality of it is the first round's been rather dull.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You know what the good news is about the Predators losing last night in the postseason, Ron? Is they won't be disturbing our draft party in downtown Nashville this week. That would have been a nightmare because the game seven, I think, was going to be Thursday night, or they were going to have to try to find a way to schedule it. Too many things going on in the city. You got to calm things down. There was it's going to be like a marathon being run this weekend too. There's too many things going on. Check the calendar, people, before you start booking all these events. Didn't the NFL lock this in? Don't they have right of first refusal for owning the city? I mean, that would have been a traffic nightmare. It's already going to be a traffic nightmare. But you try to get, 17,000, how many people it holds, Bridgestone Arena for a hockey game in on a Thursday night while the draft is going down. Even if they moved it to Friday, there's still going to be a buzz of people in downtown Nashville looking at round number two and three. It's going to be a mess. So, nevertheless, it'll be nice and easier for the draft to sort of have its party and have its center stage without the pesky NHL team bothering everything. All right, so Russell Westbrook doesn't like Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman and doesn't like to answer questions from Barry Trammell, even though Trammell asks him and asks him all the time like a good reporter should. The NBA and those who want to have spoken up on this, including Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors, feel that this is very unprofessional and dangerous because the NBA has a good rapport right now and things are going well right now with the fan base. And you do not want to alter this by coming off as standoffish, even if you have a petty feud with a local writer. The access fans want to have to the teams and want to have to the players, sort of leads to the obligation of those involved to sort of cooperate with the media. I've gone back and forth on this because I do understand Westbrook's point. You don't have to answer questions. There's no right. If you don't like the individual, what he writes about you, you don't have to answer questions. But I also understand where Kerr is coming from, that this is a business and the business is all about perception. And in the end, the only reason that players make the kind of money they make and that the league is in the position it's in is because people have chosen the NBA for their entertainment and their entertainment dollars. That is buying merchandise, watching on TV, going to games, tickets, etc. With all anything you buy or how you consume the NBA product, because you consume it, they make a lot of money. And Kerr understands that from a business perspective, that he understands that, hey, in this day and age where more and more people have more and more options with their entertainment, we are blessed to have the kind of dollars that we generate. Let's not alienate that. And let's be cooperative with the media, even if it's someone you do not like. To me, when I watch Russell Westbrook say this, I look and I see a child. And that's unfortunate because I like Russell Westbrook as a player. But this is a very childish thing to do. If you don't like what Trammell wrote about you or you don't like him personally, challenge him. I've seen it many, many times. I've seen it firsthand many, many times. Say it to him. Say it to him publicly. Answer the questions, but then tell him personally. Tell him in front of everybody. That's okay. But this sort of idea that next question, knowing you're going to get it, he's going to ask because he's not going to stop. You know, one thing I always tell people, and I see this all the time on social media, when we get like the fans will watch a press conference after a football game, let's say. And I see people run to social media when they hear a dumb question, right? Or a quote unquote dumb question. And they'll say like, how could that reporter ask that question? It's so obvious, blah, 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 blah. Well, reporters ask questions because they can't state the obvious sometimes. They need a coach or a player to state the obvious. They know the answer, but they need the player to say the answer so that they can report that they said the answer. Because when you're a reporter, you're not supposed to have opinion. Now, Barry Trammell is an opinion writer. And so Russell Westbrook is being guarded at times because he doesn't know what Trammell is going to use in terms of the answer, in terms of what he's going to write about. And that's understandable. But this is childish because I want Russell Westbrook to understand where he's at and who he is. Charles Barkley made this point, and I thought it was really true. Look, it comes with the territory. You don't make $20, $25, $30 million a year playing basketball out of some vacuum. You do it because people want to watch you do it. You know, the skill of putting a ball in a basket 10 feet off the ground carries a lot of value in the entertainment part of our society. We enjoy that. Now, if you're a good, a golf ball thrower, you could throw a golf ball a mile. There's no entertainment value in that. We don't care. Maybe someday we will. Maybe someday there'll be a sport where throwing a golf ball 200 yards is an incredible feat. But until then, we have chosen the skills that we were willing to watch performed. Putting a ball through a hoop is one of them. Throwing a football to another person who has got other people around him is another. Hitting a ball thrown at you at 90 miles an hour is another. And Russell Westbrook has a unique skill that we're willing to pay for and pay a lot of money for to watch. Because what he does not only is entertaining, but it comes with a group of people who are very passionate and get a lot of excitement and happiness and sadness at whatever level of performance he does, right? Whether he wins or loses, there's an emotional attachment to it. So yes, I'd like to see him understand that role and come to these press conferences with more than a next question from one particular reporter. Because it gets old after a while when you see it, because that's the story. Don't make it the story. Be larger than some columnist in a newspaper, albeit Barry Trammell is one of the best in the business. He's been doing it a long time. But if you don't like what somebody wrote about you, tell them. Again, I've seen it many times. I've been in the Rockies locker room where guys will say, Todd Helton used to one time say, hey, listen, I didn't appreciate what this is. You see them talking in the corner with the reporter, just hashing it out. It happens everywhere. I think this is the act of a child. And Russell Westbrook is not a child. He's a very smart and very good basketball player. Now, to know this has been going on for years and years, I get it. And sometimes in that local market, in that local melting pot, if you will, you know, where you're just together all the time, you see the same people all the time, it drives you crazy and it's just something you don't want to deal with. But deal with it. Because as Steve Kerr points out, right now NBA business is good. All right, 800-777-2907, the night of the NBA. We'll get to that coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge, one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, a professional parts people help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So here's what Steve Kerr had to say about this Russell Westbrook situation, which again, it goes to the point of, listen, where the NBA is and where it wants to go. He said, quote, I feel like we have a very careful as a league. We're in a good place right now. Very popular. Fans love the league, the social dynamic, the fashion. But more than anything, they love the connection they feel with the players. I think it's important for the players to understand that this is a key dynamic to the league. We don't think this is a healthy dynamic for the league, for any player, any team, any local media, or any national media. I agree. I think that there is an expectation in 2019 that you're going to get more information, more timely information, more current information on the teams you love. And when Russell Westbrook sort of blows that off, I mean, he's only blowing it off to one guy, but still, that's an important person. Barry Trammell is not an incidental figure in sports media. He's a big person in sports media in Oklahoma. And again, I think it's a bad look for Russ. Because I like Russell Westbrook a lot. I do. And I just think it's a bad look. It looks childish rather than taking it on. And I know there's a disdain for guys in the press. I get it. And one of the weirder things you learn doing this for a long time, like I have, is that when you cover an athlete over, let's say, 10 years, whatever time they spend, you get to know them, and sometimes you can form, you know, friendships. I've seen, you know, radio guys, you know, newspaper guys, whatever, form some sort of, you know, friendship bond. But it's never true. It's not hang out with your kids at the ball game or let's go have a beer afterwards. It's not that kind of friendship, and it's very guarded, and it's only guarded on one side, because as long as you're working in media, players are still guarded against what you're saying and whatnot, but they don't look at you the same way you look at them. I mean, they do not, they still look at you as sometimes as an obligation rather than an individual doing a job. Like, I got to do this. I have to talk to you. I'm supposed to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you, but I have to. You know, there are players that have made a career not talking to the media. Steve Carlton was one of them with the Phillies, the old pitcher. He never talked to the media. And then there was one time he was going to the Hall of Fame. He started talking. Everybody was saying all these crazy conspiracy theories. And I was like, oh, maybe your first instinct was correct. Nevertheless, last night in the NBA, Giannis made quick work of Milwaukee, made quick work of Detroit, winning 127-104. They win that series in four. Yawn. Utah did stay alive, beating the Rockets to stay alive in game four. You know what the fun, interesting statistic of that game? The Rockets didn't shoot very well. They made 28 field goals, and 17 of them were three-pointers. I mean, they only made 11 from the floor. They made more three-pointers than they did regular field goals in the loss. But, I mean, it's inevitable. They're going to win that series. Probably in five when the series goes back to the Toyota Center. But this is, again, nothing. No one's putting up a fight. No one from the bottom is really battling and making noise and scaring one of the top four seeds, except San Antonio. That series is tied at two. It's in Denver for game five tonight. If you would have asked me any first-round series that was going to go the distance, I would have pegged that one before any of the other ones. You know my feelings on the Nuggets. I have not trusted the team as a two seed. I think San Antonio is better than average seven seed that you're going to find in the NBA, just based on one or two losses, put them in that position in the first place. I'm not huge on where the Nuggets are. But again, this is, I guess, if the NBA gives you an exciting second round and an exciting conference finals because the better team's advancing, and the better teams are advancing because they're making quick work of their lesser than, their inferior opponents, so be it. Okay, fine. I can live with that. If you get me Houston, Golden State in round two, even though I wish it was the Western Conference Finals and it can't, no problem. You get me that, great. Great. I'll take it. That's what I want. Now, as I said earlier, the NHL is having so much fun showing off their upsets in the opening round, but there is still a question mark of whether or not that is good for that league. I don't think a first round boring game series, everyone's getting swept or winning in five, is good for the NBA. But I also don't think that Giannis Antetokounmpo being eliminated in round one is good for the NBA. I'm glad they moved on. Maybe give you a little bit of an excitement in that series, but I'm glad he's moving on. I don't think Golden State being upset is particularly good, although it would be kind of fun to have it as a talking point. But if you lost the Rockets, if you lost Toronto in the opening round of the NBA playoffs, I don't think that would be good for the NBA. And somehow three division winners in the NHL losing in the opening round somehow shows you the excellence of what the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are. I think the opposite. I think if you have that much chaos, it's chaos. It may be fun and you may like that kind of chaos, but don't call it anything else than what it is, right? It's a mess. Right, you've got these teams that played 80 games during the regular season, built their records up, and all of a sudden getting tossed out of the playoffs in the first round because they can't figure something out, or they can't. All of a sudden they can't score, or all of a sudden their goaltender stinks, or all of a sudden their defense falls apart. I don't think that's showcasing excellence. I think it's showcasing deficiencies. I mean, I look at the Tampa Bay Lightning are a perfect example. Columbus did a good job defensively against them, but the reality of it is that team didn't know what to do when it was faced with adversity. It didn't know how to respond when they were down early in the series. They hadn't played a meaningful game in pretty much the whole year as they ran away with it. So both of these leagues that have been waiting and waiting for April to come around, both of these leagues that have given you these long seasons, these seasons that are being built on, all right, we have this team to talk about now, this team to talk about, this team to talk about. All we want to do is get to the playoffs. We get to the playoffs, and it's a tale of two playoffs. The NBA, yep, the top teams are advancing, but they're not giving you a lot of interesting series in the first round. The NHL, top teams are being eliminated. They're giving you interesting first rounds, but we'll see what the second round of the conference finals actually are going to look like. And the NBA, listen, if I get Houston, Golden State, which is what I'm going to get in the second round, I can't wait to see it. I hope it's a seven-game series. You know, likewise, in the Eastern Conference. If I can get Giannis all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, showcasing him on a larger stage than he's been in since he's been in the league, that's great for the NBA because it's more player-oriented. So, you know, Utah, I was surprised at this series, to be honest with you, the Jazz-Rockets series. I'm surprised it has, and it still can. I mean, the Jazz may have found something and maybe figured, I don't know. But I just think Houston is going to win Game 5 and this thing is going to be done quickly. But I was surprised that the Jazz didn't give Houston more of a fight in this. They're a pretty good defensive team and they're well coached and they've got some good players. The Rockets just had owned them in the first two games of the series. And then in Game 3 in Salt Lake City, James Harden didn't play well in the beginning, finished with 22 points, was 0 for 15 to start the game, and the Rockets still won by 3.
I think it's just one of those things where the home team just gets a win. That's what it kind of felt like.
Yeah, exactly. They just squeezed one out.
They just get one. And what is it? It's a gentleman's sweep, right?
Right. Yeah, that exactly. Exactly. The home team gets a win. It goes on to Game 5, and then it's wrapped up.
Yep.
But again, I feel like that's the way it's been this entire playoffs. It just hasn't been.
For all of them.
Except for
Spurs Nuggets seems interesting.
That's it. Exactly. I mean, Milwaukee won in 4. Toronto is going to win in 5, it looks like. Philadelphia looks like it's going to win in 5, although Brooklyn could probably bounce back in that series. That's been a little closer. But the feuds aside, Boston won their series in 4. The Golden State's going to finish out their series on Wednesday night. Right? I mean, Spurs and Nuggets, that's now a best of 3.
Do the Clippers have another 31-point comeback in their
Maybe so. Portland beating Oklahoma. The Thunder are a disaster. And have been that should have been a competitive series.
That team, they confuse me.
They really confuse me because they have had losing skids and then win 5 in a row. Then losing skid, then winning 6 in a row.
But
they've been a weird year.
But it's not only winning 5 or 6 in a row, it's a dominant performance.
Yeah, right.
By them. And then they just, all of a sudden, they'll just disappear. It's almost like as if they want to play 1 week and then they want to take a week off.
Yeah, make the argument that Portland should win the series. All right, I can buy that if you like the matchups better. But don't tell me a team with Paul George and Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams who can score and rebound. Don't tell me the Thunder are out of this in 5. Come on. I mean, come on. But this should have been a better and more competitive series. This should be 2-2.
Or, easily. No, you're right. No, it should be 2-2 right now.
Yeah, and there's no feeling that the Thunder, who have been shooting terribly this series, is going to bounce back. I mean, Russell Westbrook shooting 36% from the floor. He went 5 for 21 the other night in the playoffs. So the Nuggets and the Spurs, I mean, and again, the Nuggets aren't a must-see team. They're not a, run home to watch them. They're not even a team. Nikola Jokic is their biggest star, and you could make the argument he isn't a star. I mean, that's it. So, again, a league that is predicated on personalities and individuals, the Nuggets don't have any, and they're in the most competitive series in the first round? I mean, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, that series should be more competitive than it is. And it isn't. It should be. Right? I mean, Philadelphia and Brooklyn has the potential to be better. But, I mean, it's just boring first round. But if it leads to better second-round matchups, really good second-round matchups that go to 6-7 games, go down to the wire, competitive series, all right, I can put up with it.
And I think
I can swim through this swamp of bad basketball, basketball series.
It's almost as if we should have just skipped the first round.
Yeah, right?
Just look at it and go, all right, you know, guys, let's just do chalk. And everyone gets a bye.
I want one, I wouldn't mind one upset. I mean, again, I've been railing against the NHL's, everybody gets an upset. You get an upset. You get an upset. You get an upset.
No, what it is you want an upset. You just don't want them all to be upsets.
Yeah.
Just like you want the best teams to win, but it's kind of nice when, one of the best teams doesn't win.
It's fascinating to me because, again, my friend of mine writes for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and he had a really good column on the St. Louis Blues, who I mentioned earlier. On January 2nd, had the worst record in the NHL, and now in round 2 of the postseason, what a turnaround it's been. That is a great story.
You couldn't find that in the NBA. If you have the worst record January 2nd in the NBA, that team would tank so quickly. That team would realize the advantageous position it was in, and you'd never see them win back-to-back games the rest of the year.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
I remember there used to be ads on TV where they would say, like, name a star after somebody. It makes a great gift. And I always thought, that doesn't make a great gift. Is that a cool thing to give to somebody? I mean, maybe, maybe not. I don't know if somebody would like a star named after him with the star registry. But I do know what is a good gift, $12,000 in Amazon stock. That's what Russell Wilson gave his offensive lineman. He said, and this is kind of neat. I don't know if this is cheesy or not. Get your Hallmark antenna up. He said, you've invested in me, now I will invest in you. No, he said, actually, you have invested in my life. This is my investment in yours. And gave him stock
cheesy.
In Amazon. Little cheesy?
So cheesy.
All right. I thought it was kind of cute. But again, that seems a very Russell Wilson thing to say.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think coming from anybody else, it would have been fine. I think it's just coming from him.
Yeah.
You know, posting a late night video of, you know, him signing his contract.
Right.
And now he's like, you've invested in me. I've invested in you.
I'm sure the offensive line is very appreciative, but at the same time, probably rolling their eyes going, oh, okay, yeah, thanks.
Now, is it $12,000 each?
Yeah.
Or do five guys need to split it up?
They each got $12,000 worth of investment in Amazon.
See, I like that.
That's pretty cool.
You always hear about it, you know, like running backs taking care of their guys, you know, either buying them a watch or taking them out to dinner. I was like, the stock option, that's kind of nice.
This is a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Amazon will just continue to dominate the world and
until
then
they own,
you know,
everything.
All those offensive linemen will be very rich when it's time for retirement, when it's time to head out and buying a house in Palm Springs or whatever offensive linemen retire to.
Yep, no need to live on the NFL pension.
That's right.
You just got Amazon stock.
I remember when I was in high school, there was a kid whose grandmother bought him like Coca-Cola stock every year since he was a baby. Bought him a bunch of like stock like that. And by the time he was a graduate in high school, he had like thousands of dollars. I mean, just a ton of money for college. I mean, he offered one of our teachers a loan to buy a car because he had so much money from these stocks that his grandmother gave him over the years. The teacher said, no, thank you. I appreciate it. Keep that.
And really, that's all we want.
That's right.
You know, just, I mean, want stock options.
That's right.
A way to make more money.
That's right. Get stock. This is actually a pretty good gift. This could make I think it'd make them very, very rich.
That it'll be a trend.
Yeah.
I can see more teams or more players doing this.
Yeah, I think so too. Like you as an offensive lineman, would you say, no, I rather have the luggage. I'd rather have the watch. No. You would take this. You would love this if you could.
So I remember
$12,000 in stock.
When I was getting married, you know, planning like the bachelor gift.
Right.
You know, you give all your groomsmen. One of the things that, you know, they were saying is like, oh, what you should do or a fun bachelor gift is buying one share of their favorite team stock.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Right. And I was like, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it was like, you know, my best bud, he's a huge Dodgers fan. I was like, you know what? If I bought him a share in the Dodgers, he would be one share owner of the Dodgers.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
And I thought that was, you know, that's kind of along those lines. I mean, definitely not going to do $12,000 worth.
How much does one share of the Dodgers cost?
Sure.
Are they a publicly traded company, the Dodgers?
I think so.
Can you do that?
I don't know.
Maybe they can. Maybe you can. Some of them are. Some of them are privately owned. But yeah, I would think that would be a very good. I was wondering how much it would cost if your groomsmen were like, whoa, you really broke out the bucks.
Well, that's when you lie.
Right. So this share is worth $100. Or whatnot. You don't want to get them flasks, the monogram flasks with alcohol in them?
No, I think I ended up doing money clips.
Oh, that's nice. Well done. Well done. I don't know what I gave mine. My brother-in-law were in. I don't think I don't know. My wife probably bought him something.
Well, of
probably
should
have been involved in the process. I don't remember.
It was, seriously,
maybe it was a great gift and I totally forgot. But hey, Russell Wilson, well done. I got to tell you, well done. A little cheesy on the way you gave it to them. You could have just gave it to them and said, hey, thanks for keeping me upright. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to make all this money that I just made, helping our team win games.
And he couldn't have gone, you know, with the Jelly of the Month Club?
That's the gift that keeps on giving all year round, according to Cousin Eddie. Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving. More news on the Raiders, who sent their scout team home the other day. So this is, in case you didn't hear the story, the Raiders sent their entire scouting department home for the weekend with pay and said, don't show up until after the draft. Basically, they are in secretive paranoia mode because they are claiming that they have a, quote, surprise pick at 4. What kind of surprise pick? What are they picking, Thanos from Endgame, from Avengers? What are you picking that's going to be a surprise? Somebody that should have gone in round 6? You have the 4th overall pick. What surprise are you going to throw at us for that selection? Doesn't make any sense. Right? What? Just pick your guy. You don't have to put on this show. Just pick your guy and move on. But they are surrounding themselves in secrecy. But I kept thinking to myself, what kind of surprise pick is it going to be? Unless they have a deal for a trade right now. And they really need to keep it private. For whatever reason. Maybe they have a deal with the... maybe they know. This is my thought. Maybe they know through spies or sources or whatever. Maybe they know that Arizona is not going to take Kyler Murray, and therefore they want Kyler Murray. They're making a deal with either the Jets or San Francisco to get that pick, but they don't want anyone else to know that, to scoop them and offer a better deal to get that selection. So that's why everybody got sent home, because they don't want the Giants, for example, to jump in and say, well, if Murray is still on the board, we're going to offer more than the Raiders offer you to get that pick. They want to be the last man, like the last deal on the table for San Francisco to go, yep, or the Jets to go, yep, and we'll give you that pick. Because San Francisco doesn't need a quarterback. The Jets don't need a quarterback. So if you want Kyler Murray, you could stay at 4 and get it, but you're scared that somebody else is going to jump in for the top 2 to get it. So you need to make sure you move up to protect yourselves. Because everything else being equal, if there were no trades that were allowed at all and everybody had to stay with their pick, the Raiders would get Kyler Murray. Because again, he wouldn't go at 1 if Arizona were to take somebody else. He's not going at 2. He's not going at 3. He'd go at 4 to the Raiders, but you're trying to protect and hold off teams that will jump in to take him at 2 or 3. That's the only thing I could come up with, is in this scenario of A, secrecy, and B, this surprise pick.
What if it's a trade to the Bears and they get Khalil Mack back?
Right. That's right. John Gruden making that phone call. I got buyer's remorse on that one. How about we trade him back?
Yeah,
he didn't do good for you last year, did he?
Yeah, that if I held the receipt, we could refund up to a year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's amazing.
It's a 9-month refund policy, right?
Yeah, that didn't work out for you, did it, Chicago? You didn't really get much out of that.
You didn't really like him.
Oh. But what if Kyler Murray doesn't go number 1? What kind of dominoes will that set off Thursday night with the draft? What kind of, you know, again, I think you would see the scramble for the 2 and 3 spot.
Oh, I think
the phones
would
be ringing off the hook.
If the Cardinals all of a sudden say they went Joey Bosa.
Right.
I think that would send the whole draft into an upheaval. And you would have, collectively, you would have every draft analyst that's there crumbling up their mock draft and throwing it and going, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what's going to happen.
And then the phone calls are buzzing already with teams that are looking for a quarterback.
Yep.
Because now he's on the board.
And I would believe every draft analyst would go full Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, very much so.
Just but asking him, like, well,
all it takes is
one.
Why
do they pick number 1, Joey Bosa?
God, all it takes is one team to go off the board, off the rails, and your whole draft scenario is all changed.
And let that team be the Raiders.
Yep.
Because that's what it feels like. Maybe the Raiders are drafting a baseball player, too. Is there another college football star that plays baseball?
Oh, good question. I don't think so. If there is, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. But, man, if Kyler Murray doesn't go one, the Giants will be involved, right? I mean, the Broncos might even be a player to move up. All of a sudden, you got some quarterback needy teams making pitches and making moves to try to get up the draft. All of a sudden, there's chaos.
But it's still so bizarre. I mean, are they going to allow the Raiders? I mean, the draft. I mean, the scouts. They're not even going to be allowed to come in after first pick, right?
Right.
They're gone. It's just going to be Mayock and Gruden for the entire
Mayock
draft.
Mayock and Gruden. That's it. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Do you need? Yeah. You would need. I thought you would need their input on. Down the road when
you get to like fourth round,
when
fifth
the things
round.
Changes, right? Well, like when your board is you have a board, you have the players that you want, you've done your research in case these guys are selected. But don't you think at some point you would say, hey, no, you know what? Let's re-talk about this. We're now into round four. It's gotten kind of it shook up not a way we thought. Some of these guys are not available anymore. Do we really want this guy that's, all of a sudden you can use some input. Maybe you could use some other voices, but apparently they're locked in, whatever they're going to do.
Because to me, what is hard to fathom, I guess, is that Gruden and Mayock know all the players. I've seen all the film. And that's what these scouts do. They just live and breathe film. You know, they'll travel to the games and get a closer look. Maybe they've gone to the combine or, certain schools' pro days. They've done all that research. They've seen it firsthand. And I guess you just put it in a binder and say, here, good luck.
Yeah, I guess so. You go, here, we did our job. Here's the analysis. And if you want to make the pick, make the pick. I mean, maybe that's how it works in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I have a draft book from friend of the network, Dan Shanka.
Yeah, it's great.
Do I just read that?
Right.
There we go. Now I'm a draft expert now.
Yeah. I mean, if Kyler Murray doesn't get drafted number one, this draft becomes very, very interesting. Because teams that I've talked about, right, Denver and the Giants, who I've both said – don't take a quarterback with your top 10 pick. Giants want to take a quarterback at 17, fine. Don't take a quarterback at 6. And the Broncos don't take a quarterback at 10. Broncos especially don't need a quarterback. They've got Joe Flacco. Use that. Find your quarterback down the road. Get somebody that will impact you now. I think Giants can take a quarterback somewhere down the line as a legit backup in the future. But if you get a star, that's going to be problematic as you try to get Eli Manning out of this scenario as the starter and bring in this guy. But Kyler Murray being available kind of throws that out the window. Then I could see the Giants going, wait a minute, our plan now is we are going to land him. We may not be high on Drew Lock, for example, but we're high on him. We'll go get him. We'll package some picks up to see if we can get him. And the same with Denver. If they're not as sold on Dwayne Haskins or Drew Lock as a quarterback that they can draft that will back up Joe Flacco, maybe Kyler Murray is the guy that they would be interested in and go after him. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how Kyler Murray rates with certain teams, but if he's up, if he's available, and you know the two teams that are drafting 2 and 3 do not and will not need a quarterback in this draft, then chase. And we'll see what teams will actually chase. And that would make it very interesting. But if Murray is drafted by Arizona, then we'll be waiting and see where Josh Rosen goes. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number if you'd like to join in the program. Also on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Have you written a book? Learn how to get it published and potentially sold online and at bookstores. Call Page Publishing now for your free book publishing kit. 800-215-6815, 800-215-6815. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
By the way, we're going to be broadcasting live from the draft on Thursday and Friday. We're going to have a whole team there. Rocket Minucci is going to be out there. Jake and Alex Gold, Jake Asman and Alex Gold will be broadcasting live on this network on draft night, breaking it down, all the picks. It's going to be a fun time in the Music City for the NBA, NFL draft, I mean.
I hope so. It's going to be good. Yeah. I hope the one thing I keep staring at is weather.
I know. I heard it's going to rain.
I'm curious of how they're going to do that, because isn't it outdoors?
Yeah, it's going to be a big outdoor kind of festival downtown. It's going to be crazy.
Curious.
They're saying they've got a lot of things going on in the city, but the draft is the centerpiece of it all. These things, these cities, they love showcasing their. It's a big risk, right? Because you want to host the draft, you want to put on a good show, but if you don't, it's going to get known. If you don't do a good job with it, if it's poor and it's not well done or the audio doesn't work,
you'll never get it back.
Yeah, my wife asked me about this. She goes, Is the draft going to come back? I go, no, it's on this like 30 city tour. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of cities that are going to get knocked out of it. But I said, they're going to try to give this to as many cities as possible. So I said, we're going to be very, very old the next time it comes around.
I think it might stop in LA at some point.
Oh, I gotta believe it absolutely will be in L.A.
Well, but I think it might just stop there.
Yeah, that's true. After that stadium is built, mm-hmm. I think you're right. Just make that the permanent home for a while. I got to think 1 year they're going to do it in Vegas, right? 1 year?
Oh, they got to.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it'll stop there. Well, I don't know. Do you want to bring college kids to Vegas?
Yeah, that is true. That is a good point.
Why wasn't he at the draft? Well, he was getting lucky.
This is Sin City after all. Yeah, that might be true, but Los Angeles definitely stopped there.